Wednesday at this time is Vents Day on the Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week we'll be talking about the state of labor on this Labor Day week and solitary confinement. And your comments and your offerings make the bulk of the program. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org, or post on our Facebook page. Labor Day came and went with a few speeches and commemorations about the significance of labor mixed in there with the barbecues and the end of summer parties. It certainly gives us a chance to reflect on how well the people who work for other people are doing in our country today. There's plenty to talk about this year. For one thing, the minimum wage. Several jurisdictions have passed $15 minimum wages to be phased in. The Oregon legislature dropped the issue in its regular session, but a ballot measure to hit a $15 minimum might appear in November 2016 if the legislature does not act early next year. Money itself is not the only issue. There's also the growing gap between workers below and owners and CEOs above, and benefits and the cost of child care. There are plenty of issues facing labor. Let's get your take. What is the state of labor in your mind? What's the most pressing issue facing people who work for other people for a living? Let's especially get the perspective of people who've been workers and managers who want to hear from you, too. So now to solitary confinement. California recently announced a change in approach, a settlement in a class action lawsuit. The state will no longer put inmates into solitary confinement just for gang affiliation, which it had done for years. The suit came from inmates at Pelican Bay Prison near Crescent City. Some of the inmates in the secure housing unit there spent 22 hours a day without contact with other humans. Inmates will still be placed in solitary for crimes they commit in prison, but not for gang affiliation alone. Everybody seems to have an opinion on solitary, including the Supreme Court. At least some of the justices getting to the verge of calling it cruel and unusual punishment. What's your take? Is it ever appropriate to put people in prison separated from all other people? Is it fair? Is it cruel? I mean, are there circumstances in which it must be done? If the point of prison is rehabilitation, how do you make productive people when solitary can warp their minds, as many mental health experts claim? Your take on solitary confinement and the state of labor. Welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760, our phone number, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Steve in Eugene is up first. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Howdy. Hi. There has been an ongoing war against organized labor since the PATCO days when Reagan destroyed the Air Traffic Controllers Union.
Right.
And we should also remember that Reagan is the one that started the upward mobility of the one percenters with his tax cuts and such, and it's all part of, you know, the same ongoing process that is pushing the middle class into non-existence.
And what are some of the remedies you see, Steve? I mean, what are some of the ways you counter the effects that you see happening?
Well, first of all, we've got to take the money out of politics, i.e. the, you know, unregulated, unreined in power of the Koch brothers and people of similar mindsets into buying their own, you know, senators and congressmen. We've got to start taxing the rich or start helping the poor or doing something to equalize the disparity there is between the top 1% and owning, you know, 40 to 75%, whoever's, you know, figures you want to believe, percent of the total wealth in this country. It's, you know, worse than it was in, you know, the Gilded Age of the 1890s, and the robber barons are back, and they have to be controlled.
All right. So you want to see greater constrictions on the ladling of money in politics and greater taxes paid by the upper folks. Got it. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Want to get further thoughts on this Vince Day? What are your thoughts about the state of labor in America? Do labor people who work for other people have anything going for them more than they used to have? Is it generally less, as Steve portrays, than they used to have? And what do we do about it? That is one of our topics on this Vince Day. The other one is the topic of solitary confinement in prison. California recently backed off its process or its practice of putting people in solitary confinement because of gang affiliation alone, but it will use it for other purposes. What are the purposes in which you see solitary confinement ever being proper? What are the circumstances in which solitary confinement should be used on prisoners behind bars? Join us at 800-838-3760 on this Vince Day, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or check out our Facebook page and make your post there under Vince Day 99, Labor and Solitary, Go. We hope to hear from you very soon. Here is Chris in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, hi. I was calling kind of in follow-up to what you were talking to Steve about. I thought what he said was well-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think that we can do, well, first off, I'll say I think, you know, unions perhaps are partly responsible for some of the problems that they're facing. I fully support workers and their right to organize, but I think perhaps there's been a bit of bureaucratization, perhaps, of the unions themselves. I'm not a union member, so I don't know all the ins and outs. That's just kind of a perception.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying they got large and unwieldy, too?
Yeah. You know, any organization, any group of people, there's going to be politics, and I'm sure there's politics in unions as well. But I guess the main point I wanted to address is that perhaps if the unions of workers are being deteriorated, I think one of the strategies we can use as, you know, the bulk of the population, workers, is to basically band together as consumers and through the threat of boycotts and organized purchasing, perhaps through social media campaigns and so forth, I think we can be much more effective, perhaps, than just a union of workers. We've seen several campaigns launched that change the mind of large corporations if there's a large enough popular response to them, and that's not worker-driven, that's the consumer-driven side of things. So we can vote with our pocketbook, and that's the bottom line. That's what the corporations will listen to.
All right. Thanks for that, Chris. Appreciate it. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent on a couple of topics on the news. The state of labor, topic number one, because it is the week of Labor Day. So we're getting your assessment on how labor is doing in America today. We're also talking about solitary confinement in prison and when it is appropriate to use that, if ever, and what your general thoughts are on the practice of solitary confinement and, again, when it should be used. 800-838-3760 to reach us by phone. Send an email to jx@jeffnet.org or check out our Facebook page, Jefferson Exchange, and look for the heading Vince Day 99 and make your comment under there. Let us take another call from Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Another great program. I am totally on board with everything everybody said about the labor issue right now. What I'd like to focus on is the solitary confinement thing, because solitary confinement is actually quite insane as a policy. It has nothing to do with rehabilitation. It's a form of torture, because human beings are wired such that we need at least occasional social contact. Almost everybody does. And when you take that away from people, you are bound to damage them. And as a policy for reducing any level of criminality or recidivism or anything like that, it makes zero sense. It's not just a conjecture. It's not just that some scientist thinks this is true. This is really widely recognized. And it astonishes me that we can predict whether a child is likely to end up in prison or more likely to go to college based on their zip code alone, and that we tolerate the conditions that raise, that result in people developing into criminals when it's totally preventable with the proper support. And we just act like, well, this is just normal. If you have more means in your family, well, yeah, you turn out better. And the people who have less means, well, there must be something terribly wrong with them, and we're going to send them to prison. And it makes zero sense.
All right, so no circumstances whatsoever, you say, for solitary?
No. Even if you have a, I'm not in favor of the death penalty because, you know, even somebody as horrendous as Jeffrey Dahmer or who is the slicker guy from Washington.
Ted Bundy.
So many women. Ted Bundy, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can contain them, and the reason I'm not for death penalty is that we desperately need to learn from these people how they got to be the way they are, and then take that information and incorporate it into all of our social policies to prevent the formation of this kind of criminal mind. And it is preventable. I think there's an infinitely tiny number of people who may be born with some kind of an organic brain damage that tilts them in that direction. It's almost entirely nurture and not nature.
All right, so you're saying that we could essentially figure out how to cure this. All right, Sandy, thanks for that. Appreciate
it.
This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're venting on a couple of topics on the news this week. It's the state of labor and solitary confinement. Sandy was just talking about solitary confinement. You can talk about either or both at 800-838-3760. To talk to us live here on the radio, send emails to jx@jeffnet.org or check out our Facebook page and click under Vents Day 99 to make your comment there. Let us go to Liz in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that if this country still had the union strength it did, there would not be the crisis between the upper class and the middle class and the lower classes. My ex-husband is a member of Screen Actors Guild, and he was vested in that guild. And up until this August, when my youngest daughter turned 26, she had incredible health care. I was a member of four different theatrical unions, including Actors Equity, since 1969. And as long as I worked a minimum of 10 weeks up until about 20 years ago, and then a minimum of 20 weeks, I had the best health care. And I found out when I turned 65, they sent me a letter and said, you can start collecting your pension right now. You don't have to wait till you're 70. And every year you work as an actor, it gets bigger, your pension, and they just had an increase in what they were paying all of those of us on pension, and I didn't have to stop working to do it. That's the dream of a union. It's kind of like with Social Security, and unions have gotten a bad rap because it's a big threat to the people in charge.
I wonder, though, I mean, there's some, when I'm thinking about the things that unions can affect change on, I mean, often with things like manufacturing jobs, and obviously acting is not like that. You can't offshore an acting job. You know, you can't send the process to another country.
No, you can't, but there aren't that many of them, mm-hmm. That's all. Now, there are many of acting jobs, especially for older women, mm-hmm. And younger women, for that matter. But, no, you can't offshore it. No, and that's why when, I totally understood what happened with OSF with the move to unionize the tech staff. It can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I run Camelot, and we can only afford a certain amount of union members because of what we need to pay for pension and health. But, you know, there's a difference between union quality and those who are not union. There's a difference in the work ethic, and there's certainly a difference in those of us who know that if you get enough weeks to earn a pension, those of us who are in the older part of the generation, that is a lifeline. That's all I can say is I am totally pro-union.
You got a prize
totally
to keep your eyes
union.
On. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that, Livia. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Bernard in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, the state of labor and solitary confinement, our topics.
Yes, I'd just like to talk about inflation for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Everyone in government thinks that we should have that 2% minimum inflation. And you take the $5 minimum wage the way it was years ago, that's equivalent to the $15 minimum wage that they want now. So there's no real increase in value from that time to this time.
Because the minimum wage, you're saying, has lost ground because it hasn't kept up with inflation?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. because inflation. It's hurting all of us, too. I'm a retiree, and then you look back when you could have a breakfast for $3.50, and today you go out and it costs $10.
All right, so things have changed, and the minimum wage hasn't as much. Thanks for that perspective, Bernard. Appreciate that. This is Vents Day on the Exchange. We're venting on the current status of labor in America, with or without unions. That is not necessarily the main point, but just how people who work for other people are doing economically. And join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your perspective on that or on solitary confinement in prison. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org, or go to our Facebook page and make your posting under Vents Day 99. Let's go to Rika in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Well, good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
I did solitary confinement in prison down in Arizona for 9 days.
For what?
It was after I reported that a roommate had thrown a chair at me.
Uh-huh. So it was considered protective isolation or something?
Huh?
Was it considered protective isolation or something?
We both were put in isolation while they investigated. It was investigative isolation.
Uh-huh. And what was that like?
I could see the point.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't so bad for me because I had my books, I had letters to write, and you know, we didn't get to use any of our electronic equipment. There was no outlets in the isolation cells. And I knew that my attacker was having a heck of a time because she couldn't smoke, she didn't read, she didn't write letters. All she did was play cards with her friends during the day.
Oh, so was she able to play solitaire in there anyway? Not
I suppose
funny.
She could have mm-hmm. if she was inclined, but mm-hmm. I don't know that she even played solitaire.
Mm-hmm. So what's your overall perspective then? I mean, is it a worthwhile endeavor to put people in solitary or shouldn't be used?
For temporary things like investigation, I think it's not a bad idea. And for those who kill their cellmates, they should be kept permanently in isolation because they can't be trusted with another person in their cell.
All right. Thanks for that perspective, Rika. Appreciate that. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, venting on solitary confinement and the state of labor. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, and go to our Facebook page. You can make comments there as well. Let me hit refresh and make sure we haven't gotten any new ones. An email here from Kathy in Grants Pass writes of labor, the robber barons are back all right, but there's also a real disparity between conditions for the public sector and that of the private sector. Labor unions can be brutal in their organizing against people that question them. In Grants Pass, 5 city council members were recalled for no good reason as a result of public employees' orchestration of a recall movement supported by the local paper editor whose wife is a public employee. So Kathy in Medford, in Grants Pass, rather, opining about the labor movement, robber barons, but also the power of labor unions to this day. Vince in Eugene on the phone. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, hi. I was a rehabilitation counselor for over 30 years and did some of my training in prison, Rikers Island, in fact, in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered right away, which most Americans don't realize, is prisons are not about rehabilitation. They are about security, controlled security. That's their goal. When I went there, I was told, we don't do rehabilitation here. And it was true. There was very, very little going on besides controlling populations. So there needs to be a complete revamping of the corrections industry. And for my second comment about unions, I worked for the last 30 years, didn't go near prisons, and worked for school districts as a counselor for disabled students. And I was protected by, well, in California, it's called collective bargaining units. But they're basically unions.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I had that protection, because there were many times when administrators tried to attack the programs I was trying to help and the students I was trying to help and were raiding my budgets. And when I retired and moved to Eugene, I tried to work, and it took a couple of years to find a part-time job. where I felt like I was treated like a slave. Like I was told, you do this, you don't question anything, you can't make any comments in meetings, you can't bring forward any new ideas without having your supervisor's approval. And after 6 months, I thought, well, this isn't social service. This is slavery, and I'm not going to work under a system of slavery. So those are my two comments.
All right. Thanks for that, Vince. Appreciate that. We go to Tony in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Labor and solitary are our topics.
I don't know anything about solitary, but on labor, to continue what you cut me off on last time, the statistics that you gave, like this 300 times the average income of the workers compared to the CEOs, is taken from a very small sample. It was only 350 companies of these Fortune 500 companies that you took. And if you take a larger sample, what you find is that it's been fairly steady for the last, really for the last 13 years. The ratio is 4 to 1.
The, 4 to 1 CEO to average worker?
Yeah. The CEOs reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average pay for a CEO is $180,000 a year. So by just simply select, I mean, I know that the politics of envy is what the left love to propagate, and it's your statistics came from the AFL-CIO, so I think we know what their thinking is. But the reality is that if you take the Bureau of Labor Statistics, it's a much more you can be much more sanguine about it. It doesn't really change much.
But
what is changing is the nature.
You cite 300 as a small sample. There are only something like 4,200 publicly traded companies, which is the measure we were looking for there.
No, there are 24,000 companies. It was only 300 out of, well, you said 24,000, right?
No, I said 300 out of 4,200.
So no, that's not true. Publicly traded companies. No.
All right, you know what? We'll have to go back and look at our various sets
of
statistics.
Do.
Because, but what I'm saying is that
broaden your horizons. I know you're a left-wing program, but you really should try and educate the people. We're all a load of old farts here, and we're listening and believing you.
Thank you, Tony. As always, let us go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
One very quick thing. With the growth of people seeking jobs and everything, labor has left out two great important things. Feeling the person you're working with as an individual. Those two words, feeling and individual, have just been erased, and that's one of the big problems.
All right, so no individual ideas in there. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate that. Well, we've certainly had another lively discussion here on Vince Day. The Register Guard pulled in some interesting figures that are worth looking at from what it calls the left-leaning Oregon Center for Public Policy, indicating, among other things, the annual income of the average Oregonian has sharply eroded in recent decades. Funny, after Tony accuses me of being a left-winger, here we are talking about the left-leaning Oregon Center for Public Policy. The numbers are out there in lots of places to look at to figure out where labor stands in relation to management in America. I urge you to look those up yourself. Don't take my word for it or anybody else's. This has been Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for taking part, and thanks for listening.